From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. We're broadcasting live from Radio Row here at the 2018 Values Voters Summit. As you might be able to tell, a little noise in the background, and I wasn't quite ready for the starting gun there, but it's been a great day so far. You might not be able to be here in person, but you can still join us. Download the Stand Firm app or go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the link to the Values Voters Summit. It's live online, and you can be a part of it. So that's the Stand Firm app, or go to TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links to the Values Voter Summit. All right, the summit got off to a great start this morning. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell told attendees that Judge Brett Kavanaugh, listen, will be confirmed. He made news. It's kind of been circulating since he made that statement this morning. We'll talk more about that with our good friend Ken Klukowski with First Liberty. And one of the top panel discussions so far, we have quite a few, which it's really generated a lot of excitement, was a panel of candidates, Christian candidates, those called to serve in government, school board, state legislature, Congress, and two of the congressional candidates who have served in various capacities will be joining me, Pastor Mark Harris from North Carolina, Dr. Mark Green of Tennessee, a former Army Special Operations flight surgeon and author of a book called A Night with Saddam. Both of them join me in just a moment. And as I said, it's been a big day here at the 13th Annual Values Voter Summit. We've heard from the likes of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, gave a great speech on religious freedom. William Graham, the son of the late Dr. Billy Graham. Dr. Ben Carson, HHS Secretary, was with us. And New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg was here and is here and will be with us later on Washington Watch. And as you know, it is Friday, and Russ Jones usually hosts for me, so I don't want him to get out of practice, so he'll join us as well a little bit later with his thoughts. As I mentioned, religious liberty has been a major issue today. Secretary Pompeo talked about it. The daughter of Andrew Brunson, the pastor who is being held by Turkey, spoke today, as did Colorado Baker Jack Phillips, who is being persecuted by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Jack and his attorney, John Scruggs from Alliance Defending Freedom, spoke just a few moments ago, and they'll be here on Washington Watch with the latest in that case. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, we've got a lot to get to today, so let's get to it. With us now is Dr. Mark Green, first elected to the Tennessee State Senate in 2012. Dr. Green is a physician, businessman, veteran, and family man running for Congress in Tennessee's 7th Congressional District. In the State Senate, Mark serves as the vice chair of the Senate Commerce Committee and as chaplain of the Senate GOP Caucus. Dr. Green, welcome.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on the show. Glad to
be here. Absolutely. Glad to have you, as well as Dr. Mark Harris, no stranger to this program. Mm-hmm. Been on here quite often. Just recently was pastor of First Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, before he stepped down to pursue other pursuits, that being running for Congress. He's pastored in Georgia, North Carolina, led the effort in North Carolina for the marriage amendment, and just been a great friend of FRC. In fact, helped set up culture impact teams all across the state of North Carolina. Dr. Harris, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's always great to be with you, Tony.
Well, appreciate you gentlemen being with us. You were part of a panel earlier today talking about, you know, our call as Christians to be engaged in the culture, and sometimes that means running for public office. And Dr. Green, I want to start with you because you were in the news about a year ago.
Yep.
The president tapped you to head up the United States Army as Secretary of Army. Yeah. And you kind of ran into a buzzsaw because of your faith. Some people didn't like the fact that you were a Christian.
Yeah, it was very disheartening to see that attack, much like Russ Vogt and Amy Barrett. I mean, it was blatant and open. They criticized me for being a creationist, essentially making the argument that I was too stupid to be the Secretary of the Army because I don't accept evolution. And it's interesting in the discussion that they they cited, I was speaking at a church in Cincinnati, Ohio, about DNA replication and protein synthesis and all these fairly complex molecular biology stuff, and they said I was stupid, you know. But anyway, that was the argument.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So the fact that you were a Christian, where was this opposition coming from? Certainly wasn't coming from the president, because the president tapped you. Where did this opposition come from?
I think a lot of it came from HRC. The former Secretary of the Army had been the first openly gay Secretary of the Army. And I had been misquoted in the press about a few comments, particularly as it related to transgender. One of his big initiatives when he was Secretary of the Army was the implementation of transgender, allowing transgender soldiers in the Army. And so I think he just was afraid that I was going to come in and undo his work. And so he led the fight under the ground to keep me from becoming the Secretary of the Army.
Sometimes that, as a veteran of the Marine Corps and as a former police officer, sometimes those types of encounters in the political are more intense than what we actually see in real hand-to-hand situations.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, being shot at is one thing. Being lied about is a whole nother thing. And as big as the fake news is, it's a big animal to take on. And so, in my world, I want people to know that I love everybody. I'm not a hater.
Right.
I mean, Jesus commands me to love people who believe completely differently than I do. And you took an oath, I took an oath to defend the Constitution and all the people of America. When I was ready to give my life in Iraq and Afghanistan, it was for every American, even the ones who don't believe the way I do. So this notion that I was some kind of hater really was a bitter pill.
Mm-hmm.
But God closes one door and opens another. So here we are.
It is interesting how that works. I've seen that. Dr. Mark Harris, loving people, truly loving them, demands we speak truth. We speak it in love, but we're to speak the truth. And you're no stranger to controversy, because that speaking of the truth, that religious hostility that Dr. Green talked about, you've experienced as well.
We have. One of the things, I guess, in running for office that was interesting about it is I never really thought about my sermons being taken and pulled and twisted and out of context in order to be used against me. And that's been a really interesting aspect of this. Although, we shouldn't be surprised because, as you said, newsflash, Baptist preacher preaches the Bible.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a great tagline that people have stopped and thought about, including the media themselves that were running with that story, I think.
It shows how, I don't want to use the word ignorant, but I want to say how uninformed they are about what Christianity really is and what the Bible has to say. I mean, it shouldn't be news that a preacher is preaching the Bible. And the good thing about this, I would say, how Romans 8:28, mm-hmm. all things work together
right.
for good, is that your sermons have gotten much more visibility.
Oh, yeah. No question. Who would have thought, a May of 2013 Mother's Day message would go throughout the country? And thanks to ABC and all the
and
other
outlets.
And
you didn't have to pay for it.
And I didn't have to pay a dime for it. So that's been pretty fascinating.
And, I think that you, both of you gentlemen, I want to thank you for the stand that you've taken and that you've not backed up, because I think that encourages others. And I want to ask you about that. I'll start with you, Dr. Harris. How have people responded to these attacks that clearly are centered on your faith?
It has been a positive thing, to be honest with you, because it did bring reaction from believers that stopped and thought through that, this is an attack that is coming not against me personally, but coming against what we believe
right.
and what we stand on and the truth of God's word. And so we've gotten a lot of encouragement, a lot of support, a lot of people praying for us. It certainly captured the attention of a lot of people around the country.
Hey, Dr. Green, decorated Army veteran, you've written a book about your time with Saddam Hussein when you were a part of apprehending him. Have people expressed shock at the hostility that is being directed at your Christian faith?
There's been a lot of it. It's interesting, you know, we used to joke about a certain group of people being godless socialists, and now they see it as a compliment. But it's really, I mean, they are taking a very hard turn. And the people who support me, the Christians who support what we're doing, are looking at it and really going, I can't believe they're doubling down on these attacks. You know, it just happened today. Freedom from Religion hit me today with an attack. And so I think in my district, you know, it rallies the troops. Most of the folks in my district believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And they're excited to see my – I gave a talk on Romans 1, and it went viral. And now tons of people are getting a nice message on
– Well, see, I also think this. I think, Dr. Harris, I've seen this in North Carolina with your stand as a pastor. I mean, you were the head of the Southern Baptist convention there in the state of North Carolina. When Wall stands up, courage – With courage, it inspires others. I mean, courage breeds courage. Mm. And when individuals are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ,
Romans 1,
others will stand up and proclaim that right where they are. I mean, sure. not everybody's called to run for office, although I will say that you inspired a lot of folks. The panel that today with the candidates going from the school board with Elizabeth Johnston or with Elizabeth in and then all the way up. To Congress, we had House, we had legislative races. I mean, that inspires people. So, you know what? I can make a difference.
Mm. Yeah.
I can be a part of it.
In the end, Tony, I think Mark probably feels this the same way I do. All I want to do is hear my father say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Wherever that is.
Wherever. I mean, and I may just be in this race so that those messages can get out. Maybe I don't win the race. But the messages are getting out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think it causes people to see the body of Christ stepping up. You know, we've seen that in eastern North Carolina. Part of my district is really affected by the hurricane that came in, and we've seen flooding in three of our counties, Bladen County and Robeson County and Cumberland County. And the church ought to be the first ones
absolutely.
Out there. And it's really given me a unique opportunity because as a pastor, we've been able to go and show the love and concern for these folks and know that making sure their needs are being met first and foremost is our responsibility as the church, not the government.
Absolutely. And we do that by leading out with our faith.
That's right.
Not running from our faith.
That's right.
Dr. Green, Dr. Harris, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, Tony.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
We appreciate your courage and leadership.
It's a joy to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, don't go away. More Washington Watch still to come. By the way, that was Elizabeth Schultz I was making reference to earlier, who is a member of the school board. She's been here many times in Virginia. Great, great lady. But that inspires others. You can make a difference right where you are. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the news-making speech that the majority leader, Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, made here today. Ken Klukowski joins me, as does Russ Jones. Don't go away. More Washington Watch live from the Values Voter Summit comes up next. Don't go.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for his kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, broadcasting live from the 2018 Values Voter Summit here at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. We are on Radio Row. You hear a little bit of ambient sound. That would happen to be the conference goers coming around looking at the different displays. A lot happening here. Earlier today, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell spoke. Obviously, the big news is what's going to happen with Brett Kavanaugh and the allegations that were made by Dr. Christine Ford. Well, there was no question about whether this justice, this nominee, will be seated as a justice. This is what the Senate Majority Leader had to say earlier today here at the Values Voter Summit.
President Trump has nominated a stunningly successful individual. You've watched the fight, you've watched the tactics, but here's what I want to tell you. In the very near future, Judge Kavanaugh will be on the United States Supreme Court.
Joining me now is Ken Klukowski with First Liberty, a frequent guest here on Washington Watch, and my Friday host, Russ Jones, joins me. Gentlemen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony.
Great to be here.
All right, I'm going to start with you, Ken. For those that are not familiar with Mitch McConnell, he is a man of few words and is not one that is given to hyperbole or exaggeration. That was a pretty significant statement that he made today.
Tony, I think what you heard from Mitch McConnell today was about as bold and definitive of a statement as you ever hear from Mitch McConnell. And I think it expresses his determination. You know, there are aspects of Senator McConnell's record that some of the listeners of this show are not huge fans of. They tend to look more, I think, for more conservative activist type, the outspoken constitutional conservative like Ted Cruz in Texas. But I'll tell you, if there is one subject matter where Senator McConnell has delivered for base Republican voters, it is on federal judges and most specifically on the U.S. Supreme Court. I think that his handling of that issue overall has been absolutely superb. And I think we heard a real statement of determination from him that Brett Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed.
Russ Jones, I've been, you know, kind of introducing different ones and been backstage. You've been out in the audience. You've been out here. He received an amazingly enthusiastic welcome. I was, it was amazing to see how well he connected with the audience.
He really did. You know, he is the guy, as we've talked about, the glue that pushes legislation. And I monitored the media today, and that was the clip that got picked up today by all the mainstream media outlets, and they're buzzing about it on social media. Yeah, I don't think some of them didn't want to hear that.
No, he was very clear. In fact, it was at one of the lead stories on Drudge this afternoon. What I found interesting was the news that was not covered about Mike Pompeo. A lot of news coming into it criticizing him as Secretary of State, speaking to this group. He came and he spoke on religious liberty. I've not seen one story other than the Washington Times even report on it.
Well, that's right, and I think Breitbart News has a major piece going up on that very shortly in terms of Secretary Pompeo, who I think is doing a spectacular job. I think that whether you're President Trump or whether you're establishment Republican, whether you're conservative Republican, everyone, and I'll go beyond that and say that I think Democrats and nonpartisan people, I think everyone should be giving Mike Pompeo a round of applause for just some incredible things that he's been working on, one of them being, as you just said, that he's been an incredibly outspoken advocate for religious liberty abroad in terms of U.S. foreign policy.
Russ, you know, you're kind of daily interacting with folks. What do you, because this is the question I'm getting a lot from the press, is how excited, how enthused is the base? You've been here at Values Voter Summit for many years running. What's your say?
I see the folks at the coffee shops. That's where I like to hang out, and they're cranked up. They like President Trump. I think they'd like to see some, you know, they even like the fact that he connects directly with the voters on Twitter, even though sometimes they get frustrated. But they like what he's doing. They like the economy, and it's kind of a giving it to the boss sort of mentality that I hear from the average folks, you know, in our community.
Ken Kulkowski, how significant of an issue is it going to be going into the election, the issue of Brett Kavanaugh and whether or not he is seated on the court at the time of the election?
I think it's absolutely make or break. I think that Republican control of Congress, not just the Senate, but even the House, could well turn on that issue. 21% of voters, 1 in 5, said that their number one issue in 2016 for the presidential election was the U.S. Supreme Court. Those voters went for Trump over Clinton by a margin of 57-41, a plus 16 issue. The American people want Brett Kavanaugh confirmed as a justice on the Supreme Court, and Republicans need to deliver on this. I don't care if you're a moderate Republican. I don't care if you've had issues with the president. The American people have a clear mandate on this. If you call yourself a Republican but are not pushing for a speedy confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, you're destroying your own party here.
But could it come back to bite the liberals, the Democrats that are opposing Brett Kavanaugh in the election? Could that end up being something that generates even higher turnout among conservatives because they see this going into the election?
It could, but I think it's a real rolling of the dice, because I think this is the kind of thing that, to the extent that there's to the extent that the left tries to create smoke and say it amounts to a cloud, I think the longer that it's getting there, the longer it sits there, I think the more problematic it becomes for everyone involved. And I think it could lead the Republican base to wonder if the people they voted for are complete failures. And it could embolden the left to say, hey, we can actually take down an extremely well-qualified nominee. Let's double down. Let's marshal. Let's charge the field. I think it would just be a fundamental game changer.
I think that would be risky for them. I think it could. I think that could backfire. But we'll see. Hopefully, as the Senate Majority Leader said, he will be on the court. Ken Kulkowski, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tony. God bless.
All right, Russ, stick around. When we come back, Joel Rosenberg, best-selling author in the New York Times and a great friend, joins us next here on Washington Watch. He's here at the Values Voter Summit. You, too, can be here. Download the Stand Firm app, or go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, folks, don't go away. More right here from the Values Voter Summit.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, broadcasting live from the 2018 Values Voters Summit here on Radio Row. If you're not able to be with us, which you probably aren't if you're listening to the radio, you can join us. Download the Stand Firm app. Go to the App Store, download the Stand Firm app because we're broadcasting live. You can get it right there on the app, Stand Firm, or go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the link over to the Values Voter Summit. Still a lot left. Ollie North's going to be here tonight speaking. Governor Matt Bevin of Kentucky will be here. We've still got a whole lot in the next day and a half. So download the app or go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, joining us now is my good friend Joel Rosenberg. He was talking about earlier this growing regional, the growing regional power of Iran has pushed several Sunni Arab and nations and Israel and the United States into an unlikely alliance. He's a best-selling author. You've heard him frequently here on Washington Watch, and he sits across from me right now here on Radio Row. Joel, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you. It's great to be back in the city that we raised our four sons in for all these years, and then before moving to Israel, and to be back on American soil. You know, because you've been overseas a lot, you know, when you live overseas, to come back to this country with all its challenges and flaws, especially to the city, but it is very, very special, and I'm glad to be with you.
Well, welcome home, and Russ Jones is with us as well. And earlier today, you were talking about how really the Middle Eastern deck of cards, so to speak, has been reshuffled.
Radically reshuffled. So I was born in 1967. I'm 51. When I was born, the leader of the entire Middle East, the entire Arab world, was the Egyptian president, Gamal Abdel Nasser, who was buying arms from the Russians, Soviet weaponry, Soviet military advisors, and forming an Arab alliance to destroy Israel and counter American influence in every way possible. That's the world I was born into. 2 months later, Six-Day War. Last year, November, you and I sat in the palace in Cairo with President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, And that's just a microcosm of a man who wants a strong relationship with the United States, who's building a stronger relationship with Israel, who's trying to rebuild his economy, who doesn't want anything to do with radical Islam and is, in fact, crushing it. This is a sea change. This month, actually, is the 40th anniversary since the Camp David Accords, but that didn't mean there was an type of warmth between the United States and Egypt or between Israel and Egypt. We are in such a different sphere now. Now, I'm not saying President Sisi has done everything right, but he's done so much right, you got to encourage him what he's doing right and then have private conversations. Same thing with what's happening with the new Saudi leader, with what's happening in the Emirates. Something is changing, and it's happening at multiple levels and for multiple reasons, but Iran is the singular you know, threat that focuses everyone's mind. Who is my friend and who is my foe?
It's really interesting because we often look at the negative side, which, I mean, we have to evaluate the threat.
Sure.
But out of that is coming this benefit of forging relationships which could have implications elsewhere.
Right. Now, think about this. Candidate Trump had said he was not going to let a single Muslim into the country, right? This sent shockwaves through the Muslim world and threatened to unravel American alliances there. Now, to his credit, he recalibrated. He defined what he meant. He wants to keep terrorists out, and it was overreaching to say every Muslim. He hired people that would accurately and morally figure out how to do that ethically. And what happened? He's got an alliance with the Saudis, with the Emirates, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Jordan, Egypt, of course Israel, but he has really worked on that relationship. Against Iran, against Russia, against Turkey increasingly, though Turkey's a NATO ally. I don't know how they're still in NATO, given where the dark side they're going to. Qatar, which is sided with the Muslim Brotherhood and Iran and Turkey. Everything is changing in the Middle East. There is a threat. To the north, you've got Russia, Turkey, Qatar, Iran. To the south, you've got the United States, Israel, and now this growing Sunni Arab alliance. This is extraordinary. We've never seen this happen in modern history, much less ancient history.
So how does the Iran nuclear deal factor into this, the president kind of ripping up that agreement? What kind of message has that sent in the Middle East?
Well, several things. First, the president gets a lot of credit because, as you may recall, candidate Trump did not say, said he did not promise to rip up the deal. He said he would renegotiate it. And yet, coming into office, he basically has done both. He canceled it but he took time. He listened to a lot of leaders. He still canceled it. But he said, I will renegotiate if you Iranians want to. But in the meantime, we're not tolerating this level of behavior that the Obama team. So this has sent a huge vote of confidence to Arab leaders, Muslim leaders, who otherwise had a lot of reservations about this president, but suddenly realized this guy, he's a game changer. Okay, we've never dealt with someone quite like him. We're going to have to learn how to do this. But he seems to want to go where we want to go, which is Iran's the enemy, and we are allies if we want to be, and they want to be. That is huge. The other countries are heading towards Russia. They're looking to Vladimir Putin, to be their, you know, big power ally, and that is not a good bet.
Joel Rosenberg, as always, great to talk with you.
Great to be with
How's
you.
How's the book doing?
It's going well, yes, and I've got the next one done, The Persian Gamble, next March.
All right, I can't wait till it comes out. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, I hand the wheel to Russ Jones as he interviews Jack Phillips, the baker from Colorado, and his attorney, John Scruggs. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for his kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall.
Well, welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Producer of this very show, 40-year media veteran. We're live at the Values Summit here, the Values Voter Summit, 13th annual at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. Pleasure to be with you here today. Well, just when baker and cake artist Jack Phillips thought the battle was over, when the U.S. Supreme Court made a landmark decision, ruled in his favor in regard to not making a cake for same-sex weddings because of his strongly held religious beliefs, forces of the left kicked in and targeted him again. Well, here to bring us an update is Jack Phillips and Alliance Defending Freedom Senior Counsel John Struggs. Jack and John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, this is what I know. I hang out amongst the folks, the average folks, and you guys are like rock stars. Let me tell you why, because it's a David and Goliath kind of story. And so proud of Alliance Defending Freedom, so proud of you, Jack, for holding strong, standing firm when so many others would have caved. Tell us where we are today and give us an overview of what you shared with the folks earlier today here.
Well, right now, go back a year to June 2017, the day that the United States Supreme Court announced that they had agreed to hear our case. That very day, we had a lot of press and media and a lot of commotion around the shop. That very day, an attorney in Colorado called our cake shop and asked us to create a custom cake for that was pink on the inside, blue on the outside to celebrate a gender transition. And when we declined to create this cake for this person, telling them, you know, we'll gladly sell you anything else we have, it's just a custom cake that portrays a message that we can't create for you.
Right.
This person went to the same Civil Rights Commission that sued us the first time around and lodged a complaint. And so the commission waited for over a year until after the United States Supreme Court ruling came out in our favor to say that they had probable cause to pursue that complaint.
And so, John, somewhere deep in your gut, in your heart, did you believe this was really over? And then you all took over from there again?
Yeah, I mean, you would hope so, right? You go to the Supreme Court, you wage this kind of six-year-long litigation battle, and you win, you hope it's over. You hope you have peace and quiet for Jack to do what he does best, which is just create these beautiful cakes that he does. But then you turn around and get this request that Jack mentioned, and you have the state essentially validating that request, coming after Jack for accusing him of violating the same law that was involved in the earlier case. You have the same people involved, just a different request. It's really almost unfathomable to think that the state would go after Jack a second time because of his beliefs.
Now, do I understand correctly that you sued the state of Colorado?
Yeah, I'll jump in. So, I mean, what can Jack do, right? He's already gone through this process once that treated him so unfairly. So rather than have to go through this commission process again and just stand by, we filed another lawsuit on Jack's behalf to put it into this unjust treatment as quickly as possible. And we're hopeful that the court will receive these arguments quickly and protect Jack's freedom.
So, Jack, how are you doing in the midst of all of this, just in your spirit and your gut and just life in general?
Life in general is pretty good. We've won this big decision with the United States Supreme Court, hoping that after the chaos of the summer calms down, we can get back into the wedding business. I have to hire, you know, five or six more people to get back to work.
They all went away, I presume.
Yeah, before this all started, I had 10 employees, and then it got down to 4, including myself, when the Colorado Civil Rights Commission took away my right to make wedding cakes.
Now, how did they, without divulging too much, how did they handle this? I mean, it's one thing for you, but how did your employees handle all this?
They're all gainfully employed doing other things now, so it's not like I can call them all back. Now I have to hire and train an entirely new staff, and that takes some time. By the time that could happen this year, the season will be over, so we have to wait and address that next year, next go-around.
So you're not actively making and designing cakes at the moment?
The wedding cakes. We're still
wedding cakes. You're doing other cakes.
We're still doing the other birthday cakes, shower cakes, cookies, brownies, graduation, all those things. But the wedding cakes, when the Civil Rights Commission ruled against us, that was about 40% of our income that we lost.
Wow. Now, you know, in a related matter, John, I have talked to some pastors who have stopped doing weddings altogether and events in their church because of what's happened to Jack, out of fear. And what would you say to those pastors listening now? What would you say to folks that just really don't want to face that battle because they're fearful of the kind of folks that are coming through the doors and they want to reach the lost, but at the same time they're fearful of getting in a big court battle?
Yeah, on the one hand, they need to be aware of the risks. We represented a group of ministers up in Idaho, actually, who were running a wedding chapel. So it's a similar type scenario, and the city tried to apply their law and forced them to celebrate a same-sex wedding ceremony. But we stepped in, ADF stepped in and stopped that. So that's really why we exist. We try to educate the people about the risks, but also to protect people to live out their faith. And it makes it easy with Jack because he's such a great client. He serves all people. He serves people in the LGBT community. But you just can't create all messages that come in the door. And that's an important principle to emphasize.
So what next? Are we in a waiting pattern? What are we doing here?
Yeah, right now we filed that lawsuit in federal court, and we're waiting for the court to rule. On the same time, the state of Colorado is still coming after Jack in the commission proceeding. So they're really going to parallel tracks. We're hopeful that the federal court will rule quickly in our favor because we have that Supreme Court ruling that Jack already won.
Now, Jack, how are folks, how are they just average folks treating you? Are you feeling threatened? Are you feeling like the threat of violence coming after you and those sorts of things?
The people that actually come in the store are pretty much 99% supportive. We get a few that come in that are, you know, vehemently against us. Most of the antagonism comes via email and phone calls, but I serve a good God who is sovereign over all that too.
So what are some of the final kind of messages? What ultimately do you want folks to hear that see all of this from the sidelines and kind of have empathy for you? But I know there's got to be a larger message there.
You know, it might sound cheesy, but we do appreciate the prayers that people tell us that they're praying all the time. For instance, one time about 4 or 5 years ago, gentleman called me up in the middle of the day. I don't know who it was, but he said, my wife and I were just about to pray for you. What can we pray for? So we talked for a few minutes, and I thought, that's amazing that somebody I don't even know is actually in prayer before my God right now. Wow. And so to know that people are praying for us, that's very important to us.
You know, I wasn't planning on taking callers today, but I was wondering maybe we could take some callers and talk to some folks and kind of hear what's going on with folks out there. The phone number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Would love to hear from you. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. We're at the 13th Annual Values Voter Summit here at the Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. Got a very large crowd here. I think it says that folks are hungry. They're looking for information and tools. We've got one of the larger crowds ever had at the Values Voter Summit to We're in the exhibit hall here, lots of exhibitors. Would you say you've been here for a few hours today? What are you seeing just in the hearts and minds of some of the people here?
Well, I'm really struck by we can't really walk through the lobby without someone coming up to Jack and saying thank you so much for what you do. And it's really a great encouragement for you, Jack, I hope, that to see these people, like you mentioned, praying for you. But it is so important to get that message out of we need to learn how to live with other people who have different beliefs than us and learn to tolerate them in a real way like you have done. And that really comes down to showing respect and honoring other people. But yet, hey, I can still disagree with you about certain messages. And I'm really thankful that Jack is out there showing that way, that path to live out your faith, but to do so in a respectful way.
And Jack, what are you hearing from some folks here? Have you had a chance to talk with folks? And
yeah, quite a few people want to come up and shake my hand and, say how much they support us. And, that's really encouraging. And so I try and encourage them as well, because this is a fight that we all need to be in. We need to learn how to stand for our faith and live it out.
Well, give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Jack, let me ask you this. Have you talked to other bakers? Have other bakers reached out to you with similar concerns?
Yeah, other bakers and other people that own small businesses. And when they express their concerns, if it's something that I think that Alliance Defending Freedom can help with, I refer them to go talk to them if it's a legal issue. If it's just that they need encouragement, then I'm glad to do my best to try and encourage them to keep living for God in every way that they can and run their business the best way they know how.
Well, we've got time for a call or two if you're listening. Maybe you're a small business owner, 866-372-7234. Have you faced similar challenges? Are you afraid to do certain things just because of your strongly held religious beliefs? What would you say to them, John?
Yeah, so this is an issue that doesn't just affect cake designers. We represent people, art studios, web designers, print shop owners. All are being faced with this issue of, hey, if something comes in the door, I don't agree with this message, what do I do? What rights do I have under the Constitution? And that's why ADF exists, to give some advice for free and to defend these artists and these creatives to live out their faith according. And that's something that should apply across the board, whether of different faiths or of no faith at all. We wouldn't force someone, a Democratic speechwriter, for example, to write a campaign speech for a Republican, right? That just seems wrong. And that's really the same thing Jack is doing. Jack, there's a wide variety of messages that Jack won't create. He's even got requests to make satanic cakes, right? I mean, who knew? It's like someone calls him up, and Jack, maybe you can talk about it. Someone calls you up and asks for these type of stuff.
Yeah, we've just had so many bizarre requests that makes this new charge by the Civil Rights Commission, sound like they really need to pay attention to what kind of requests this person is asking for. Because we have just crazy things like Satan smoking a joint or a cake to celebrate Satan's birthday. It's just the scope of events that people want me to create cakes for is really broad, and I can't do them all. I just decline to create cakes that go against my faith.
And it just shows that it's really about the message. It's not about who walks in the door. It's about what goes on the cake. And that's what was so problematic the first time the Supreme Court ruled. It said that, hey, Colorado is treating other cake designers differently than Jack. the state is allowing these other bakers to decline to create these offensive cakes that they feel are objectionable, but forcing Jack to create messages that he disagrees with. And that's just not right.
The number 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234 at the Values Voters Summit in Washington, D.C. And one of the things that I'm struck by here is the fact that even in light of the Supreme Court decision, I mean, just the arrogance to come back again. I don't know what other word. I'm a word craft guy. That's what I do for a living. It just feels like elitism and arrogance to come back again. Was the Supreme Court decision just not good enough? What explain that.
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. I'm sure more so for Jack, but even us for the attorneys. We fight this long battle all the way to the Supreme Court, and you think that should decide it. But Colorado says no, they're taking a different view of that opinion. And that's something that we're going to have to litigate, and we feel very comfortable doing that. Jack, can you speak to, you know, how you feel? I know you must be frustrated by this whole round two, if you will, of the situation.
Yeah, we had hoped that, you know, we'll get through the initial chaos and everything, attention of winning this big Supreme Court victory, and then be able to get back into our wedding business. But because of this new case, we're not able to. And the United States Supreme Court told the Civil Rights Commission, you know, you are being hostile to Jack and his faith, and you can't do that. And yet they are again. And they have told him, you're not treating Jack equally with the other bakers, and you have to do that. And no, they don't feel that they have to. So now we have to, you know, face what it's going to be like for the next few months or a few years of how this case goes on.
How long have you been in this business?
I started in the bakery business originally when I graduated high school. The first week I got out of high school, I went to work at a bakery. Found that I really enjoyed that. And then a couple years down the road, the owner of that bakery bought out another bakery and brought in cake decorating, which I'd never seen before. And so I knew that I could turn my love of art, which I'd had all my life, to my new love of baking. And I knew that I would eventually open my own cake shop, which I did a little over 25 years ago now. And I knew that its name would be Masterpiece Cake Shop. Masterpiece says art. Cake Shop says cakes. You know you're hopefully coming in to get a piece of art, that the cake is the canvas, and help you celebrate a special occasion.
Well, there's something very biblical about showing hospitality. Truth be known, I could have easily been an executive chef. I love to cook. I could have gone to culinary school. I really do. We just built a big outdoor kitchen, and we love loving on people. I would rather eat at home. Give me a $50 bill. We can put on a much better deal. Going out anymore is overrated, it seems like, and a lot of times not very good. But we like the actual art of putting the meal together and then getting to see the reaction and serving people, and that's what you're doing in your industry.
In my case, it actually is art, where I sit down with the bride, and we make sketches and we design a cake, whether it's a very traditional cake or something really unique to that person and her relationship with her new husband. You know, that's what we try and do. We live in Colorado, so a lot of times, you know, the theme might be a hiking theme or something like that. So we'll try and design something really personal and specific to that.
Well, Jack Phillips, thank you so much for sharing your story. And John Scruggs of Alliance Defending Freedom, thank you for your work. We appreciate you guys. Love what the work you do. And you're such an important part of our culture right now, and appreciate that. And Jack, thank you so much.
Appreciate
Russ Jones
it.
Been sitting in for Tony Perkins. Been live here at the 13th Annual Values Voters Summit. Leave you with this from 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. And friends, if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries, we indeed will see you again on Monday. Be well.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.